From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Jennifer Mitchell with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 28th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
If you live in York or Piscataquis counties, masks are back. The Mills administration announced today that it's embracing new federal guidance that recommends that everyone, vaccinated or not, wear masks in areas of substantial and high transmission of COVID-19. The guidance also recommends universal masking in schools, regardless of transmission or vaccination rates. Patty White has more on what prompted the recommendations as well as the new state plan to promote vaccination in schools.
The driving factor behind the new guidance is a troubling variant of COVID-19, the Delta variant. Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says it behaves differently than previous strains.
The Delta variant is more wily and more formidable. It's roughly twice as contagious as other strains of the COVID-19 virus.
It's also the dominant strain in the U.S., accounting for 80% of cases. In Maine, it's been found in nearly half of samples tested. But Shaw says its true prevalence is likely closer to the New England average, which is 68%. Unlike other strains of COVID-19, the Delta variant has, in some instances, been able to reproduce in individuals who are vaccinated and spread to others.
That someone could be a child who's too young to be eligible for a vaccine, or an immunocompromised person for whom the vaccine may not be fully effective.
And that's why, Shaw says, Maine supports the new U.S. CDC guidance. It recommends that everyone who lives in areas with substantial and high transmission wear masks, even if they're vaccinated. In Maine, that's York and Piscataquis counties. Dr. David McDermott is senior physician executive at two hospitals in Piscataquis County, Northern Light Mayo and C.A. Dean.
It pains me to see Piscataquis County singled out as one of two counties in the state of Maine with above normal or above expected levels of virus transmission.
But McDermott says he supports the new guidance that everyone wear masks. It is only a recommendation, not a mandate, and McDermott acknowledges that some people likely won't follow it.
But even if 10% of people wear a mask, that 10% will be contributing to reducing the virus's ability to spread within our community.
At York Hospital, infectious disease specialist Dr. Gretchen Volpe also supports the new recommendations. The pandemic isn't over, and she says to expect more loosening and tightening of safety measures.
This is just the way it is. There's going to be fluctuations where people get more on high alert, then maybe they relax restrictions, and then they go back again because it's certainly not gone. It's just changing, ever-changing.
The new recommendations come as Maine's 7-day average for new cases continues to increase. As of Wednesday, it's 67. Earlier this month, it was 14. Hospitalizations are also on the rise, with 41 people currently receiving inpatient care. When Dr. Shaw was asked during Wednesday's briefing why the mask recommendation isn't being applied statewide, given those trends, he said the risk is not the same everywhere.
There is a balance here. The balance is giving people advice based on the risk in their area and not making them feel that the vaccine they got was for naught.
And for people who find different guidance for different counties confusing, Commissioner Jean Lambrew of the Department of Health and Human Services says there is one simple statewide recommendation that people can follow.
Which is get a vaccine. We know that the way out of this pandemic is vaccination.
To that end, Lambrew announced that the state is launching a new plan to boost vaccination in schools. It includes setting up free vaccine clinics, educating school staff and families, and publicly posting school vaccination rates. Rates among students will be posted by administrative unit each month, beginning in mid-August. For staff, rates will first be posted by school beginning in mid-September. The state already posts vaccination rates for hospitals and nursing facilities.
Connecting this information on vaccination directly with school communities can help guide efforts on where to bring the vaccine and where to educate people when vaccine rates are low.
It's also recommended under the new state and federal guidance that schools implement universal masking, regardless of vaccination status and community transmission levels. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
As the Biden administration and Maine Governor Janet Mills push for the development of offshore wind energy projects, new efforts are emerging to look at compensation for commercial fishermen whose harvest might be hurt. Fred Bever reports.
Last month, the governors of nine Atlantic Coast states from Maine to Virginia called on Biden to lead a regional approach to offshore wind development, including a plan for mitigating negative effects on fisheries. In a later meeting with regional fisheries managers, first reported by Reuters, Bureau of Ocean Energy Management biologist Brian Hooker said potential compensation policies were under review.
BOEM's role in fisheries mitigation, kind of writ large, including compensatory mitigation, is something that we're taking a very serious look at.
Representatives for fishermen in Maine and elsewhere say they haven't been included in any recent state or federal efforts to consider compensation policies, and they want a seat at the table. In a written statement, a spokesman for the governor's energy office says the state also hasn't yet joined any formal conversations on the issue, but will participate in any such efforts, quote, to ensure Maine's interests are represented as part of a measured and prudent approach to offshore wind. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Acadia National Park officials say an online parking reservation system, which is new for this year for those seeking to park at the summit of Cadillac Mountain, is working as intended. Today, Superintendent Kevin Schneider told a Senate subcommittee hearing chaired by Senator Angus King that the vast majority of feedback from visitors so far has been positive.
You can look at TripAdvisor, you can look at the recreation.gov app and see how see what people are saying. And visitors understand that, there's only 150 parking spaces on Cadillac Mountain.
But Schneider says in the 2 weeks prior to the reservation system's launch at the end of May, visitors were reporting severe congestion and double parking. The reserved parking system was given a soft launch last fall in an effort to address overcrowding at one of the park's most popular spots. It will remain in effect until October 19th. Senator King, who chairs the National Park Subcommittee, says he's concerned about overvisitation of certain parks such as Acadia, Yellowstone, and Yosemite. Possible solutions highlighted by King today include mandatory reservations, the promotion of less visited parks, the development of more public transit options, and the boosting of staff levels. Hannaford grocery stores have issued a recall for a number of bakery products that were produced with a spice blend that has also been recalled. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced that spice maker McCormick has issued a voluntary recall of its Perfect Pinch Italian seasoning blend with best before dates of May 26th and 27th of 2024 and June 4th and 5th of 2024. Consequently, Hannaford has recalled six bakery breads that use the spice blend, including various focaccia and pepperoni party breads. The FDA reports that the spice blend may be contaminated with salmonella, which can cause serious illness and, in some cases, death. There's a link to a full list of the recalled products at mainpublic.org. And the Bigelow Laboratory for Ocean Sciences has received a $5 million grant to further its research into whether seaweed-based food can help reduce greenhouse gas emissions from cows. The lab has been working since 2019 on whether seaweed supplements can help cut methane emissions from cattle operations. The methane is released as cows ruminate and belch. That grant is from the Shelby Cullum Davis Charitable Fund. Time now to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
An unusually cool night is to unfold as the fair weather clouds melt away. Temperatures will settle smartly with a three-quarter moon rising, a few clouds towards dawn, low to mid-40s in the northern and western valleys to the mid-50s along the south coast. An approaching frontal complex will foster abundant cloudiness across the northern third of the state tomorrow. A little morning sun farther south, then skies become overcast, fading east late in the afternoon. A few showers are possible west and south late in the day, 70s for most, 60s mid and down east coast. Friday, showers will occupy the entire day over the northern half of the state and down east. Skies to become partly sunny south and west by midday with isolated showers at just about any time, 61 to 78 north to south. Saturday, mostly cloudy across the northern half with morning showers to depart, partly cloudy farther south, 63 to 76 north to south. Sunday, considerable cloudiness statewide with the showers arriving at some point in the afternoon or evening. It's all about timing, upper 60s north to near 80 south. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up in the next Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the guest is NPR All Things Considered host Mary Louise Kelly. I'm Jennifer Mitchell. Thanks for listening.